Good morning and welcome to Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM and Happy Africa Day Observed. Whatever the heck that means. It means we are observing, the 25th of May is, for those of you that have been living under a rock, have been, a reminder to every African, that there's this thing called, it was at some point called the Organization of African Unity. Now it's just called African Union. It was founded on the 25th of May. It is like being born on the 25th of May. Now this is for an organization. Just a little bit of matter I have to do before I continue. Un momento, s'il vous plaît. There we go. Yeah, to celebrate the founding of the birthday of African unity, which I every time I look at the name African unity, I'm like, it's a good thing, it's a good thing that name was changed from African, the Organization of African Unity to African Union, because Africa didn't unite in 1963. No. Now, speaking of unity, that is one heck of a word to use. Yeah, okay, seriously. A lot of Africans, especially Pan-Africanists, like to make it look like before colonialism, Africa was just this continent, was just one giant block of land filled with people that all got along and they did not fight. Actually, that never happens with mankind. It never happens with Chinese, never happens with the Japanese. Actually, if the Japanese have the best history of warring. Actually, white people have the best history of, kicking the heck out of each other. The thing is, I think it's a family thing. I know we like to look at it as, I know we like to look at fighting as if it's a bad thing. But if you look at it on a, on a small scale, like on a family scale, you are going to see that fighting is part of a family. I know that on a family level, we like to call it family drama. But, well, on a global level, that's called World War I. Family drama, it's actually on a global stage, war. So, as much as we like to look at, at all this head butting like it's a bad thing. It's a bad thing if it's being done on a national level because, well, it's called civil war. And it's on a continental level, then, world wars, and all, all those terms, and a lot of people are caught in a crossfire. But, let's just say, let's look at it at a less diabolical level, where it's less, brutal and, gory. Like, like on a family level, for example. This is one thing I find fascinating about family. Every family, I don't care if that family is made out of priests and nuns, they have drama in that family. Now, this is my favorite part. Families will come together and kick the heck out of each other. Every family reunion, a lot of family members, the reasons why most family members avoid family gatherings is because they know they are going to meet with auntie who is like a from here to the moon, just flat out crazy. And there's this auntie that, it's almost always a auntie who will go to all ends to make sure that the event goes as smooth as possible. She will make sure that the food and ingredients, for the food, music and everything is, everything is spot on. And there's almost always a uncle that will just show up drunk and use a split second to ruin something that was put together you know, that took someone months to put together. And then because of those very split second, they said, well, the uncle, 5 seconds, it's not unheard of. Okay, let's come back to current-friendly material. Now, anyway. And then after that, there will be a huge fight. They will be kicking the heck out of each other. After that, when that uncle will die, at that uncle's funeral, everyone is going to be having a good time, laughing, because the only thing, most of the things about that uncle that will be said will start with, do you remember when Auntie Beata came there and put the party together, and then Uncle Helmut just showed up with one cigarette, kicked the bucket of alcohol, and, everyone was angry and wanted to kill him. Oh, good times. Now, this is where I go like, oh, come on. Seriously, you wanted to murder the guy when he did it. But now that he broke it, the back, figuratively, but, he's not here. Y'all are saying it was a good thing and you can't just stop laughing because you can't stop laughing thinking about it. That's something I found odd about families. I have one too, don't get me wrong. We will want to kill each other today, but 4 or 5 days down the line we'll start talking about that event that we wanted, that made us want to kill each other. When we start, when we reflect back to that event 5 years down the line, we'll be like, man, we made memories without knowing. So if you want to, every family on this earth knows that the best memories were made when they were this close to murdering each other. This close. There are those people that see it through. And then, you see, that's the problem. Actually, when you see through the murdering each other, it's never a good memory, because you'll be like, this event, is how this started, and then this one started killing that with that one, and that's why this person is not here. You see, it will never be funny. But when, don't murder each other. The trick is to go as close to murdering each other as possible, but not murdering each other. When you do that, in the future, that event is going to be really funny. But when you murder each other, you suck the fun out of things. It's never going to be funny. This is my wisdom. This is my wisdom. No go kill me. Just don't try to murder each other. Now, by looking at that, I couldn't help but start asking myself, seriously, what is wrong with us? By us, I mean human beings. Like, guys, where is like, we will want to murder each other today and then use that event to create a comedy show 5 years later. Actually, 2 years later. Make it, no. And then I came across an experiment, that was done by Stanford University that helped me answer my question. This was conducted in the 1970s. S'il vous plaît. Ooh, Jesus. Oh man, where's my now? Great. Yeah, well, here we are. Finally. You see, Stanford University back in the 1970s decided to do an experiment. And, that experiment was of them trying to, they just tried to find out just how good are mental institution doctors at, can they tell if someone is really mentally challenged? And then they did something really mean. Really mean. If I was a psychiatrist. Jesus, could you guys just find another, term? Let's go with a mental doctor. Not a mental doctor as in a doctor who is nuts. A doctor for people that, that are nuts. But let's take a break. This is the part where Dwight will be like, oh man, no, no, But, you know, that's why I don't invite him to my morning show.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Olyom nangeshefa, noahara kushivifa oma kuroe kupitira mohorikera.
Welcome back. After looking at how basically families behave, it led me to conclude, to one conclusion. As much as we don't like to admit it, people, we are just all crazy. Irrespective of of gender, sexual orientation, political or financial status. To some degree, we all have some degree of craziness in us. We just don't like to admit it. It's just that, the craziness differs. There is a line that must not be crossed, because if you cross that line, we take you to a mental health facility. But, below that line, you're considered, normal. So in a way, no one is actually normal. Not a single one. No one. Actually, from time to time, especially during the weekend, we will be begging for an excuse to be, less normal. Why do you think we invented alcohol? Because being normal is rough, Baba. Because if you are normal, you have to face the world head on. So for you to, for you to avoid, the pain and the responsibilities that comes with being normal, from time to time, you have to act crazy. You have to act crazy. If you are not born crazy like some of my friends, believe me, I have friends that do not need alcohol to be nuts. It's like, they have like a switch that they keep flipping and then just act crazy and then come back to normal. Now, those ones, you guys stay away from alcohol and weed. Now, those of us that were born who are very good at putting on the facade of, the facade of being normal. Now, that's where Nami Breweries now comes in. We need to take at least one or two shots for us to do something stupid for two reasons. One, being normal is just too much to take in. Two, the next day we can avoid taking responsibility for the damn things we did by saying, I didn't mean to. I was just drunk. No, I didn't mean to say all those things, bestie. I was just drink. I was just drunk. No, homeboy is just, it's just low key hitting on you. I'm one of those people that, tend to agree with Steve Harvey on the part of, men and women being just friends. I don't know. I'm just saying, my chicken and I were friends until I ended up frying it is the point I'm trying to make. And, same as, the goat ended up being, being Kapana. Look, there are a lot of examples that I can use, but look, we have a whole, we'll disagree on this part. But just one question. Oh no. You know what? Men and women can be friends. They can just be friends. Helmut and I have been friends for 5 years. Well, Helmut and I have been friends for 5 years. He didn't do anything. Can you tell us with 100% certainty that he didn't think of you in a very, bedroomtically diabolical way in his mind? It's either he thought about it and he didn't tell you, or he's gay. One of the two. You are not convincing me there's a third option. You are never convincing me there's a third option. if he is straight, even if he is a priest, at some point he found himself confessing his sins. Oh, forgive me, Father, for I have thought, well, had a few dreams about my bestie, dreams that she would not be very proud of if she, you know, if I told her about them. She'll be like, holy moly. Now, anyway, back on We Are All Nuts, different degrees. I knew that. I had the suspicion that we all are crazy, like all of us. Now, I did not know how right I was. Until I came across the following study by, the following study that was done by Stanford University, back in the 70s. And so, the study, that's all over. Unfortunately. The study was titled on being sane in insane places. This is a study conducted by psychologist David Rosenhan, published in 1973 in a journal of science. The study aimed to investigate the reliability of psychiatric diagnosis and the treatment of patients of psychiatric hospitals. Translation: what this very mean guys here wanted to do was that they wanted to investigate just how legit is this mental institution diagnostics, everything from diagnostics to the medication that they prescribe, just how legit are these things. And then they did something that I still maintain. A lot of medical students that are specializing in this field will tell you that was mean. Why am I saying it was mean? Well, it because as a comedian, it reinforces my point of view that we all on this planet, each and every single one of us, irrespective of age, status, sex, whatever, we are all crazy to some degree. Because Stanford University decided to take a group of very normal people. And they told them, you have to go to that mental hospital and tell them that you are having some hallucinations. Just give them, you have to understand these are coming from an academic institution, an Ivy League, Stanford. So they can, as you can imagine, they set them and looked at some of the common diagnostics that mental patients are diagnosed with, and then they claimed to have those problems. So they went to different mental health institutions, and they said, I feel like murdering my best friend. Sometimes I hear voices, hallucinations, blah, blah, blah. And now the goal was, as soon as they were admitted in these mental health institutions, they would start behaving they are normal selves. They went to these institutions. They gave basically a bunch of medical excuses, and then they were admitted in the mental hospital. Believe me, in less than a week, these guys were put on mental health medication. After being diagnosed with mental health condition. One, not only were they diagnosed, these were normal people, by the way, not only were they diagnosed with a mental health, mental health conditions, they were also prescribed medicine. At this point, the guys at Stanford were going like, are you guys for real? Because those guys were our guys. We sent them there to pretend to have some mental health problems. They're actually perfectly fine. And the doctors were like, how true is that? And the guys were like, oh yeah, well, here's my student card. I'm actually a student of that institution. And as you can imagine, the owners, you know, the guys and the doctors, basically pretty much everyone that was working in this mental health institution, they were not happy because that's one heck of a prank to pull on someone's 7 to 10 years of, you know, 10 years academic qualifications. But, well, what happened next? Ah, don't worry. I got you. Well, here's the thing. Rosenhan, who is the, you know, the lead doctor behind the, actually the guy behind the prank. The guy behind the prank, took 7 individuals known as, you know, pseudo patients and then, feigned, auditory hallucinations to admission. It's that fancy language. What it means is that they, you know, pseudo, you know, as in pseudoscience is more like a pseudoname is your, it's like your pen name. It's not your, you know, it's not your real name. It's, pseudoscience is what it's called. It's not real science. So, pseudo patient is basically, it's a, basically that, not a real patient. These 7 guys that went to a mental health institution and then pretended to have hallucinations, and then they were, not only were they admitted into these mental health institutions, but the doctors also found, not only did these mental health doctors find out that these guys are actually having mental health problems, but also they found the right medication for the said mental health problems. And I think maybe the guys took the medications or they didn't. Now, when Stanford pointed out that actually, well, those are not patients, those were our guys we sent into your institutions just to prove just, that we were right to question everything we had to question about, you know, your practice, you guys. I mean, seriously, if you can't tell the difference between someone who is sick and someone who is not, we have problems, like really big problems. Now, those guys were pulled out after they found out that, you know, they were just pretending to be sick. They were not discharged. They were just, you know, pulled out in the, you know, like, this is not a King Solomon type pullout game. It's a different pullout. You know, they were just told, you know what, the experiment is over, you know, you're out, you know. And then, then there was a huge debate now between this mental institution, this mental health institution and Stanford, because the doctors kept saying, you know what, we actually are qualified to tell between someone who is mentally, who needs psychiatric care and someone who does not. And Stanford was like, all right, fine. You know, let's do this experiment again. We will send another group of our patient into your institution and you will not know that, you will not know who they are. Well, a couple of months later, the mental health institution called Stanford and said, well, we found the people that you guys sent. You can come and collect them now. Stanford was like, no, we didn't send any patient to your institution. And the institution was like, darn it! Not again! Now, that, there are only 2 possibilities that exist here. Especially about that story. It's either we are all crazy and we all need medication. Or, there's something really fishy about the degree to which mental health, the degree we have pushed the definition of mental health. Sometimes it's just natural craziness, guys. Come on. Let's take a break. We have to pay the bills.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Audio mnangeshefa, noahara kushivifa oma kuroe kupitira mohorike radio station.
It's a minute past the hour of 10. If you just tuned in, you are listening to Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM, and we are observing Africa Day. Africa Day. Why did I start with the whole mental health, example? It's because I'm a firm believer in the fact that we all are crazy, just to different degrees. My English teacher liked to say that a lot when I was in high school, and I didn't understand what he actually meant. He liked to say that, everything is in everyone. Especially when it comes to behavior, everything is in everyone. It's just in different degrees. Everyone is a thief. We all are. Everyone is a thief. Just to different degrees. What is stealing? Well, stealing is when you take someone's property or when you take someone's belonging without their permission. Now, this is one of the excuses a lot of us give. I mean, I just took it without telling her because we are friends. Technically, you stole. Therefore, by definition, you are a thief. Thief! You are a thief. I just took it because it's my uncle. You know, we are relatives. I don't need to tell her. Well, technically, thief. What you did, stole. See? When you look at it from a technical standpoint, you begin to understand that my English teacher was a genius. He still is. He still is because he's still alive and kicking. At least last time I checked. Take the our favorite bedroom activities for example. We all are very good at it. Like, really good. You know, what's interesting is that, if we put our dedication in something, we become very good at it without anyone explaining to us how it's done. Our parents didn't teach us how to do all these things that we do in the bedroom, but boy, are we good at it. And thank God our parents did not participate in teaching us that because, we would be traumatized. Now, for the sake of our sanity, it's a very brilliant idea that our parents just stay out of it. It's either, I think at this point, our parents will be traumatized, not the other way around. Because believe me, for one, I don't think they will allow us to use, they will allow us to use their spoons. Don't Google that. It's just one dark meme I found on the internet and I thought it was a brilliant idea to use it now that I've, it's out. I can't unhear it. Now, anyway, we're all crazy. We're all thieves. just different degrees. There are those that are thieves and they will break in a bank. Well, now those ones are the ones that we, you know, we usually associate the definition of the word thief with. But every time that you take something that belongs to your friend without their permission, we don't call that stealing. We call that, you know, taking. No, according to the technical definition of stealing, if you take something without asking the owner, irrespective of your blood relations, you stole. You stole. So every time that you take a toilet paper from your workplace, that's, you know, a toilet paper that's written GRN, you take and then you put it in your home shop and sell it for $5. Well, you call it taking because, well, it's government property. But, technically, well, you stole from the government and that falls in the, well, and the bracket of corruption. I know, if it's a toilet paper, it's not corruption. It's only corruption when it's millions of dollars. I'm telling you, we are very good at justifying the things that we do. I swear. Well, but anyway, moving on. Why am I bringing this up? I started with the mental discussion part, with the mental, you know, with the mental health example. Because I want us to understand one thing here, that the African unity did not start in 1963. Oh, is it 1963. No. Africa had thriving civilizations long before transatlantic slavery. And one thing that I don't like about our, you know, about our history is like it perpetuates. Look, I don't want us to forget, you know, the dark history of of transatlantic slavery, but I don't want us to, you know, to study that day in, day out as if it's the only type of history we have. It's like once upon a time Africans indeed, you know, did not exist. And then white people showed up, and then Africans started existing. Then white people started colonizing black people, and then black people fought for liberation struggle, and then they lived. Then they won. Then they lived happily ever after. No, before white people showed up. By the way, this is the psychology behind it. Just look at just how amazing the psychology is. At least, you know, amazing to see. More like, you know, amazing to look at. Africans have convinced themselves. Actually it's white people that convinced us. White people showed up, you know, not just in Africa, in Asia, showed up in Africa and in Asia and, they plundered, they actually stole and killed and did a lot of things that, that makes us, that have created a lot of touchy subjects around us. But here's something. And then managed to convince us that we are the violent ones. Now, where am I going with this? Farm murders, white genocide in South Africa. When Europeans showed up, They literally committed genocide. Like, after genocide, after genocide, after genocide. But. Right now, the narrative is, black people are the violent ones. I know. Somewhere in 2015, a South African family, that I think has, it's one of those rich South African family that has citizenship, with Australia. So in 2015, somewhere in 2013 to 2014, they moved back to South Africa. So when they moved back to South Africa, they had one of those, family problems. Every family has problems. And their family problems went to an extreme when their oldest son actually woke up at night and, you know, took an axe and basically went on a killing spree of his own family. The only family, you know, the only family member that survived was, the youngest member of the family. I think she was a teenager at the time, a girl. And she survived after spending months into a coma. Now, here's the problem. When homeboy was arrested by the police, thinking that he killed everyone in his family, he called the police and he decided to frame a story that, instead of confessing to his, diabolical activity, he started framing the story that actually we were attacked by a tall black man wielding an axe. Investigators, after investigating that story, found out that, nope, he is the tall black man. He's tall. And, he was wielding an axe. The only part he missed was, the black part. Actually, he's white. So, he was a tall white guy with an axe that, killed his family. Now, rap music has not helped. I mean, we could dive in the story of rap music and how it's tied to American intelligence communities and, delegitimization of the black race, but that's just flat out. I really don't have a stomach for conspiracy right now. But anyway, what seems to happen is that, the stereotypes of black people being violent, being the most violent in comparison to other races, is one that doesn't make sense. It was the Europeans that showed up and committed one violent activity after another, and then after that violence was met with another violence, because that was the only way, negotiations couldn't work. So we decided to go, we're going to kick your butt. After we finished kicking some European butt, every European now, wherever they find themselves, every time they see someone with a dark skin color, the first thing that comes in their hand is violence. No way, actually not violence. You guys are literally, you guys are more violent than us. I mean, you started this whole thing. We started kicking your butt because, you started kicking ours. You started kicking our butt, we started kicking yours, and then when you lost, you started to rewrite and reframe the whole narrative and make it sound like everyone who is black is violent. No. Now, here's the thing. Now, here's something now I like to clarify every time I talk about something, quote-unquote, this sensitive. It's because if you look at what went on between Donald Trump and Cyril Ramaphosa in the White House, that was the same narrative being perpetuated by the Trump administration. Black means violence. No, it's not. Now, the thing is, on both sides of the spectrum, on the black and white side of the spectrum, there are people in power that want to maintain a certain level of control. Now, to maintain control, you need to scare the heck out of someone. Let me explain why that is a very amazing psychological, a subject to look at. When we were kids, how did our, if you are from, especially from the black, families, I know more about that. I'm not going to tell you what happens in white families. I don't know crap about that. When we were kids, how did our families get us to shut up? They created monsters. There is a monster that's going to come and swallow you if you don't shut up. And boy, did it work. It worked all the time. It's either monsters or hyenas. Just some fictitious monster type thing. And you see the same thing. You see that it worked. We kept quiet because we believed in our very childish, tiny, innocent mind that if we cry, there is going to be a monster that will show up and swallow us. Poor monster doesn't even exist. Now, that is psychology 101. So, even, you know, from Jim Crow south of the US to apartheid South Africa, the governments told their citizens that hate black people because they are violent.
Step right up to ShopRite's Big Low Price Carnival, where the deals are big and the savings are even bigger. Get show-stopping deals like 2-liter Brooks Oro Squash Concentrate or variants for only $39.99. That's a big deal. And 4 kg Real Good Chicken IQF mixed portions for a low $178.99. Valid until 8 June 2025. Don't miss out on these unbelievable savings and more at the Big Low Price Carnival. Only at ShopRite. Plus, stand to win one of 220 trolley dashes. Simply buy any three participating products and stand to win with ShopRite's Big Low Price Carnival. Competition ends 8 June. T's and C's apply.
Now, where was I? The, fake monsters. The fake monsters. Apartheid, apartheid South Africa, Jim Crow, Jim Crow USA, and, how to put this? The governments in both these two countries wanted to maintain a certain level of control on their own people. And one way of maintaining that control was creating a monster out of the other group of people. So white citizens in both these countries were told that some of these people have never been victims of any crime. Especially not one that was committed by a black person. They were told that, you know what? Those are savages. By the way, the word savage itself is a whole new word with a whole, textbook, literally, a textbook, history behind it. It goes back to the 1840s. 1450s, sorry. Like it's that old. That's where religion now comes in. Fascinating. All kinds of religions. By the way, I've said this like 1,000 times. I'm one of those people that, I'm one of those people that respects religion. But I have a problem with religious leaders. Like, that's just me. I don't have a problem with any religion. I have a problem with all religious leaders. For one, not a very huge fan of you guys. Because, not that because all religious leaders are bad, it's just that a lot of religious leaders have made it look like all religious leaders are bad. And that's because a religion, all kinds of religions, by the way, have been used to control. Christianity have been used by the Romans, Islam have been used by the Ottomans, every type of religion that you can point have been used by some type of, control freak to control their people. Now, let me explain this. there was this king called King Afonso V of Portugal, right? He wanted, one of those situations where you want to do something, but you want a reason why you should do it. You know you shouldn't do it, but you are just looking for an excuse so you can do it. This is where we all do it. We all do it. And the first thing that we do is, we know the answer. The answer is very simple. We shouldn't do it, but we will just go from one friend to another asking, you think I should do it? And then you hate those ones that tells you that no, you shouldn't do it. And then you like those ones that tells you that yes, you should do it because that's what you're looking for. What you're looking for was an excuse, a justification to do it. That was King Afonso in the 1450s. So what he wanted was, he wanted to expand his Portuguese empire in modern day Guinea, basically East Africa. He wanted to, free labor. Basically, he wanted to enslave people on account of their skin color. But he just wanted to feel, you know, he did not want to face the moral burden of treating other people like they were property. So he decided to go to the Vatican City. Met with, with one pope, something, the fifth also. And so, and he was like, you know what, can I expand my colonial empire in Africa and, you know, subjugate a bunch of people? And the Pope was like, absolutely, the guy upstairs is okay with that. You can just go ahead and colonize. And then, because one thing I like about white people is they are very good at writing down things. They decided to write down a series of documents called the Doctrines of Discovery. They are called papal bulls or papal decrees, basically, or what we'll call it executive orders. The Pope wrote them and basically said, well, you have to understand that this was not, you know, this had, you know, this had little to no, little to do with skin color. It had everything to do with religion. Because at this point, if you were not a Christian, you were not evolved enough. That is the reason why the Irish were hated. If you're not Catholic, you are going to hell. You are going to hell. It doesn't matter what your religion was. Now, the offensive Afrikaans word kafir, where you get the very offensive Afrikaans word, interesting enough, that word is coming out of the Ottoman Empire. Because the word itself is, is Arabic in origin. So what you see, that word was used I think it's still used. That word was used to refer to people that were not, that were not Muslims. In the very same way that during biblical times, people that were not believers of the Christian religion were known what? As pagans. In other words, if you are not one of us, you are less human. Now, by the way, before you start cooking white people and start looking at them as this diabolical, no, they don't do that. We all know that we have that point of view even on tribal basis. So, it's not a race thing. It's not a skin color thing. It's a human race thing. And if you can follow that even to even on a micro level, you find that on an individual level, we all, each and every single one of us, think we are better than the person next to us. I am more important than anyone else. Therefore, I am just me, ego. So, it's a very interesting psychological observation that I have, at least I have made, because a lot of us like to picture ourselves on a pedestal and everything and everyone else is below us. And, our family is better than the families of, the families of our neighbors. Our village is better than the, our neighboring villages. Our town is better than our neighboring towns. Our country is the best compared to other countries. And by the way, our skin color is the best. And a lot of people in power have been using that against us all throughout history. So it's not really a black and white thing. That's actually one of the biggest mistakes you can make. And then here comes another interesting psychological observation. When something is benefiting us, we don't see the negative side of it. A lot of white people during apartheid, because apartheid was not negatively impacting them, a lot of them did not see something wrong with it. Until the regime fell, that's when they started going, oh my God, what on earth are we gonna do? A lot of them went to Australia, especially from South Africa, and then they started coming back slowly but surely. Then you know why they started coming back slowly but surely. It's simple. It's because fitting in a society. Because a lot of people that left South Africa during after 1994 and South Africa got its independence, they thought because they had white skin color and Australia is predominantly white because, well, they massacred a bunch of natives, they thought that because you're white you can just fit in a white society on account of your skin color. Then they found out the very harsh reality of how society operates. If you take a Chinese person and you raise them in a black community, they will have a problem fitting in a Chinese society. That's because they may be ethnically Chinese, but their way of life has nothing to do with that. You can take someone from Africa today and then take them to the furthest part of Western Europe, throw them in a Scandinavian part of the, part of Europe, where they have no interaction with black people, raise them in that environment, and 20 years down the line, bring them in Africa, then you'll see that skin color-wise, they'll be black, but lifestyle-wise, they're not gonna fit in. There's more to life than skin color. Of course, you don't need a comedian to tell you this. If you need a comedian to tell you this, first of all, thank you. Second of all, how old are you? If you are 12, I will understand. But if you are older than 12, if you are somewhere between 12 and 16, please read more books. If you are above 16 to 18, again, read more books. If you are 18 and above and you didn't know that, you're welcome. I just didn't want to cook you on our first day of notifying you that these things exist. There's a video that was circulating last year of one white boy that was raised, I think, in Singapore. I say that Singapore or China. Now, the thing is, he speaks fluent Chinese. He speaks fluent, he's white. The boy is white. The boy speaks fluent Chinese. Now, the thing is, he speaks English the very same way that you hear Chinese speaking English. That very funny way. Yeah. Every time that he goes to Europe and speaks English like that, a lot of people, both Chinese and white, makes fun of him. Because, well, he looks like he's trying to pretend. And he kept telling them, I'm not pretending. I was born and raised in China. Therefore, I speak fluent Chinese. And then, because he speaks fluent Chinese, Chinese has an influence on how he speaks other foreign languages. In the very same way that, our native languages has an influence on how we speak English. I will bring up my old example here again. When I'm sick in my language, I can, when I want to tell people that I'm sick, I'm going to lay down. I don't feel well. I'm going to lay down. I don't feel well. I'm going to lay down. That makes sense in English. In my language, that sounds very gibberish. Now, so if you hear me saying, I'm not hearing myself well. I'm going to listen to myself. Just listen to that. I'm not hearing myself well. I'm going to listen to myself. That sounds very, very, that sounds ridiculous in the English language. In my language, it makes sense. It's not rocket science. So the way that, the way that you speak your native language is going to influence how you speak other foreign languages. So, and this is where context now comes in. This is where context now comes in. I'm not hearing myself. I'm going to listen to myself. In Thimbukushu, that makes sense. In English, it doesn't. And then there's, You know, and then there's something that my English teacher had to point out, and we really laughed it at, you know, we really, I mean, we spent, we, you know, my homies and I spent like, our entire high school life laughing about it. I'm going to drink my tablets. How many of us have said that? I'm going to drink my tablets. That's because, now if you find yourself saying that, chances are very high in your native language. That makes sense. You are going to drink your tablets. Except in English language, you don't drink tablets, you take them. I'm going to take my tablets. That's it. I'm going to take my medications. That is the English way, but in the native language, a lot of Bantu languages, including mine, drinking makes sense. I'm going to drink my medicine. It's just that, well, at some point when when one of my homies said that, you know, to his, to our English teacher, started cracking. I was like, oh my God, Africans. You don't drink medicine. You take medicine. Now, if you were to take, that English equivalent into your native language, everyone would be like, what the heck are you talking about? You're going to take your medicine. Your mama will be like, take it away. That's because, well, unless your mom understands English, because if, you know, if your mom does not understand or speak the English language like mine, she'll be like, you are going to take your medicine. Take it away. But that's because, well, context. Context. Another example. Those of us that went to school in the, you know, those of us that went to school in the, you know, late 90s and early 2000s, then you know something, that, there was this thing called storytelling, where you were asked to stand in front of, in front of the class, and then, you know, just tell a story. You know, anything that happened to you, you know, it could be something that happened to you at home, maybe a story that you read somewhere. Now, here is where one of my favorite part of the difference between Bantu languages and the English language. Emphasis. Emphasis. You see, in most Bantu languages, including mine, you put emphasis on something. Take, for example, you are telling a story of, how you and your homies ran a long distance. How you emphasize that, how you emphasize the length of that distance. In English, you just say, well, we ran a distance of about 15 kilometers. We ran a distance of about, of about 5 kilometers. We ran a distance of approximately 10 kilometers. Approximately 10 kilometers. No Bantu language has a problem. No Bantu language has time for that. We ran. Now, see, the problem is that makes sense in Bantu languages, but in English, your English teacher will be like, no, there is no such thing as we ran. Running. And then we ran again. We ran. Now, that's just speaking English with a Thimbukushu accent. But again, let's come back to context and emphasis. Context wise, we run. Running. In Thimbukushu, it makes sense. In English, it doesn't. Because how you emphasize things in my language, or in, in a lot of Bantu languages, is you repeat, a repetition of the same word over and over again. Emphasizes the, emphasizes magnitude, but not in English. You can't say, we ate. Okay, we need a break. Eaty! And then we ate again. Eat. At this point, your English teacher is going, oh dear Lord.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build. Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Uri mnangeshefa no wahara kushivifa oma kuroyo kupitira muhoriki radio station awayo Eagle FM. Enya mkuro olongaha. Ningi kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi kono rahita tuimwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mamberewa kono rahita tu natu, mbali o hetatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Nenge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. We have 25 minutes left to the hour of 11. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM. And I'm looking at I'm just pointing out the few differences between Bantu languages and the English language. I know Bantu languages because my language falls under that category. I wonder if if when you are telling a story in Afrikaans, do you say we had oh, we eat oh. We steak the maniki, we steak. Uh-oh. Just, minus the gory part of the steak. So, at this point, I'm just wondering why I didn't do psychology, because I really find the subject fascinating. Not the subject per se. Actually, well, human behavior. It's very fascinating. I find it fascinating. So, today is Africa Day observed. Coming back to the topic at hand, today is Africa Day observed. I'm a firm believer in, not a firm believer. I love history. I like to read history. And because of that, I managed to compile a list, a few things for you. Now, I'm just gonna gloss through because I only have 23 minutes. I'm just going to gloss through some of the events that took place. Some of the civilizations that thrived on the African continent before transatlantic slavery. The point I'm trying to make here is that, can we please just observe the commemoration of the creation of the African Union without only focusing on how we were colonized? Guys, come on. Now I understand why ex-boyfriends and ex-girlfriends only focus on the negative sides of what they went through in their relationship. Come on, there was a positive side. I'm not saying if he punched you in the face, just focus on how good he was in bed. First question, how do you end up with that idiot again? But anyway, here's the thing. I think, I don't want us to forget transatlantic slavery, colonialism, and all the dark histories that came after that. But it's all, I feel like it's, let's start from time to time acknowledging that we had thriving civilizations across the African continent. We were not perfect, by the way. Oh, we kicked the heck out of each other in the very same way that Chinese were, that Europeans were. And by the way, if Europeans want to convince you that they lived peacefully ever after, and all their problems are, you know, are attributed to black people. Oh no, World War One, World War Two. By the way, you know, they have the series of world wars, and by the way, who is this? Okay, they had a bunch of guys. Constantine the Greek. Constantine was the Roman. Alexander was the Greek. Yeah, Alexander the Greek. All these guys were army generals. So, army, who the heck were they fighting? Of course, they were kicking the heck out of each other. Every group of people is going to kick the heck out of each other. It's not something that, we can try to mitigate it. But to some degree, we are going to have disagreements here and there. It's not unheard of. Families fight, friends fight. Therefore, people of different cultures are just going to have disagreements. It's not unheard of. For one, culture is something that is engraved in us when we are young. And the thing is, when we grow with a certain culture, any culture that looks different from one that we were raised with, the first thing that comes in our head when we are exposed to that is we start criticizing it. What? This is how you dance in your culture? Oh my God, that's terrible. Look at ours. It is the best. Are you sure it's the best? I don't know about the best. From my point of view, two things. Culture and religion, these two things, I find them fascinating because why? These two, the only religion that makes sense to you is one that you were raised with. Take, for example, Christianity right now, to me, makes sense. Islam doesn't. But picture this. If I was raised somewhere in Iran, and I was, in a Muslim household, in an Islam household, I would look at Christianity and go like, what type of religion is that? So, see, it's about exposure, if you ask me. Culture and religion, the only one that makes sense is one that you are exposed to the longest. It makes sense. One that does not, you criticize it. It's the same with food. You will have someone who is sitting there eating frogs and go like, you know, and criticize someone for eating cockroaches. Like, man, living in the 21st century is amazing because thanks to the internet, you get exposed to a lot of cultures halfway across the world. Now, of course, there are a lot of cultural practices that are just flat out diabolical. In the Vanuatu culture, for example, it's an island nation. In the Vanuatu culture, for example, the rite of passage that they had in their culture, I'm not sure if they still practice it. The rite of passage they had in their culture is that for you to transition from a boy to a man, you have to jump from a height and then fall on a pile of sand without breaking your neck. That, by the way, is where bungee jumping come from. You know, white people decided to take it and they are making, you know, money out of it. But it's a cultural practice that was considered a rite of passage. And by the way, every culture across the world had something called the rite of passage, which is one of the reasons. Now, a lot of cultures have circumcision as a rite of passage. Now you are going to be called, after you have gone through that initiation, now you are a man. You have to understand that for thousands of years, this was done with an okapi. And the only painkiller they had was bite on this sandal. They would just give you a stick, a belt, a sandal, just bite on it, and a couple of very toxic motivation speech like, be a man. Don't cry. If you cry, you're not a man. Oh my God. Now, before you start saying, oh no, black people, just Africa, very, you know, very backwards. Let me tell you a story. At some point in the history of the Catholic Church in old England, when a priest was caught doing something very not priest-like, they were given, they were given a portion of cheese to swallow. If that portion of cheese was stuck on their throat, they were guilty. If it glossed through, then they were not guilty. Yeah. Those were white people. By the way, we are all from somewhere. Very questionable. Commercial break.
Experience the best of freedom and flexibility with Flex. Parata's Flex bundles now offer you even more freedom of choice so that you can enjoy quality internet on the go or at home. Choose between fiber with mobile LTE or Sky-Fi with mobile LTE packages, starting from as little as 650 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT. You get more for less with Flex. Visit parata.africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide. Always prepare.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station. 14 minutes left to the hour of 11. Now, where was I? In conclusion, two things. One, Africa had deceived. We'll conclude on that later. Conclusion number one. We are all crazy, just to different degrees. You know that P word that we use in reference to sex workers? Oh, we all that, just to different degrees. I know a lot of people don't like to hear that, but thank God I have a comedy show so I can, you know, annoy the heck out of people. Moving on. What were some of the thriving empires that were on the African continent before transatlantic slavery? You see, the Asante Empire. Oh dear Lord. Now, I don't have time to dive into this, I just need my, one of my, nope. I just want one of my very long list. At least five or six empires that existed before transatlantic slavery. There we go. If you think Africa started with colonialism, listen to me now. The great empires and kingdoms of pre-colonial and pre-slavery Africa. Thank you very much. I love the internet. The ancient world was filled by curious explorers who scavenged for new lands. Europe. Now, you can look at their landmass. It's not that big. You know, you understand why they scavenged. Those are their words, not mine. For new lands. This curiosity led to the discovery of a continent which was set aside from the rest of the world. It was not set aside from the rest of the world. The reason why Italians were not classified as white until later on, I think so, you know, late in the, late in the 40s and 50s, I think, late in the 30s and 50s, is because they are not as white as other Europeans. Why? The reason why the melanin is, there's a little bit of melanin in Italians, it's because Rome has, before it was Rome, it was Italy. Before it was Italy, it was Rome. It was actually the other way around. Before it was Italy, it was Rome. And the Romans have been interacting with Africa for a very, before colonialism. So, now, the newly discovered continent, which was rich in resources, culture, and unique leadership systems. Not this democracy that they shoved on everyone's throat. But anyway, listen, we don't judge. To top it all, it was filled with people of different races, the black race, Africa had its native policies and administration and ruling. Great empires and kingdoms were formed and grew into their sustainable capacities. Now, the ancient African civilizations comprised well-strategized and adequately administrative systems which enabled them to defend their territories, keeping at bay enslavers and colonizers. Ha! I'm so loving this source, which it's American, so that's why I decided to begin. Now, however, following the various failures in the kingdom and empires, many administrative systems failed. Now, this exposed Africa to slavery and colonialism. Now, one way of looking at this is, one of the reasons why we were conquered is because we were made up of multiple warring kingdoms. Kingdoms everywhere, the kingdoms that were found on the African continent were always at war with each other. And as always, everyone that's at war is willing to accept the help that they can get from anyone that's coming, that's giving them a new idea on how to fight their opponent. So, as you can imagine, as Africa, when we were fighting our different tribal wars, Europeans showed up and then they decided to pick a side. They were like, if you want to fight your enemies, if you want to win this war that you're fighting with your enemy, we can give you these guns. And anyone who is at war is willing to accept help like that. What they did, they did the exact same thing to the Maori in New Zealand. Now, what's fascinating thing about the Maori is that they had some type of combat exercise in their culture before the Dutch showed up, and then turned that combat exercise into just a flat out, military conquest, and everything went south really fast. But why am I bringing that up? It's because South Africa and Namibia are two countries with a very sensitive topic known as apartheid. Now, that sensitive topic puts black people and white people in these two countries. It makes it very difficult for them to talk about the subject of race. That sensitivity of the topic is what everyone that wants to divide black people and white people in South Africa and Namibia, and especially South Africa, everyone that wants to, shove a wedge in between black people and white people in South Africa will bring up the subject of race. Donald Trump just did that. And it was this close to working. This close. It's just that thanks to the internet and social media, you now have all black people and white people across the continent, across the world going like, what genocide are you talking about? And white farmers are coming out in South Africa, and one guy was speaking Xhosa. I was like, this is not looking good for the, good for the US. Now, why did the US go straight for that? It's because you have to understand that for a very long time before social media, the US was very good at controlling narrative, because it controls a large part of global mainstream media. Wherever you go in the world, you'll find CNN and you'll find BBC, which is British. You'll find Fox News, you'll find CNBC, you'll find, the New York Times. Now, because of that reach in mainstream media, they had control over a lot of narratives until, they invented social media. by the way, they invented social media, and now a lot of people are getting their information from social media. So mainstream media does not have the impact in terms of narrative control that it had pre-social media. Now, you have everyone going like, there's a genocide going on in South Africa. And you have, you know, a South African farmer making a video, putting in social media going, Oga Trump, I'm white in South Africa. What genocide are you talking about? Now, you have to understand that minus social media, this would have generated a lot of hate coming out of white Europeans thinking that there's a genocide going on in South Africa. Now, you know, whatever disagreements you have in your country, figure out a way to talk about it, because if you don't, you bet anyone that's going to come and actually, you know, start a violent in your regime, they will use that sensitive topic. I know. This is actually why I like politics. This is why I like politics. So, African empires that were kicking the heck out of each other before, you know, white people decided to come and participate. Just that, you know, they were a little too good at it. So, you know, we're taking sides, you know, fighting each other. Then we came together and realized, hang on a second. We are not each other's enemies, are we? These guys are the enemies. These guys that are allergic to sunscreen. So that's when we ganged up together to kick the heck out of them. Hence, 1963, founding of the African Union. So we realized that, you know what? These guys are giving us guns so we can shoot the heck out of each other while they extract and steal our resources. Hang on a second. By that, they've been doing it for a couple of hundred years. And, you know, to this day, by the way, it's still happening. Because some leaders are still in the back pockets of some high-profile European guys. I know. I have 4 minutes. What were some of the empires that thrived on the African continent before colonialism showed up? The land of Punt. Now, this one I didn't know existed was, until yesterday. One thing that's fascinating about about this, Punt Empire, Punt, really? That's the best name we could come up with, is that this empire is so old, it predates ancient Egypt. Like, that's how old it is. The only reason we know about this empire is because all the knowledge we have about this empire, we got it from the literature of Egyptians. Now ask yourself, just how old is this empire? Because it's older than ancient Egypt. The ancient Egyptians wrote about it in their literature. Actually, they revered it so much. You know, how do I put this? Ancient Egypt looked at Punt the same way that we are looking at Dubai today. So all the examples they had of what a good civilization should look like, they looked at Punt as an excellent example of what a country should be. Like, that's how old it was. And then you go to Carthage. Now Carthage is a very new one, because these are the guys that went to war with the Romans, and then they were this close to winning are two different things. So they were this close to winning. Carthage was on the parts of modern day Tunisia. Now, Punt, on the other hand, is very old. Like I said, it's older than ancient Egypt. So it's one of those things that historians are still debating as to which part of Africa this empire existed. And then you have the Mali Empire. A lot of Africans, when they talk about, you know, empires that thrived on the African continent, that's the first one that comes up because of the richest, Mansa Musa guy who was lauded from the Mali Empire. And then you have the Kingdom of Aksum. Now, this one is my favorite because, the Kingdom of Aksum actually gave us the, you know, the Ge'ez scripts, aka the alphabets that is used in Ge'ez writing. If you look up the Ethiopian calendar, the type of alphabets that you see, the one that doesn't look like your typical ABCD. Now, that type of writing is the one that they founded and they left to us. And we decided, you know what, Ethiopia, you can have that. We'll adopt the Romans. And a little bit of, you know, we'll just take Roman alphabets and then Arabic numbers. And, you know, we're good. Kingdom of Kush, commercial break.
Slow internet should be a headache of the past, yet many Namibians have connections that just aren't fast. We have a solution that might set you free. It's called Mobile LTE, and it comes with real speed. You'll enjoy up to 50 megabytes per second from just $300 Namibian a month and free internet browsing after midnight till 6. When it comes to staying connected, this is it. Visit Paratus.Africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide and experience the thrill of better internet with Paratus by your side. Always prepared. Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today, nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday and Friday for free directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
And the time is a minute past the hour of 11. Some of the African empires that existed before you all were colonized, before you start focusing on everything colonialism, like the Kingdom of Kush, and then you have a great Zimbabwe. By the way, these walls are still there. Now, it was thought that the Zimbabwean ruins were once in biblical Queen Sheba's dwelling. However, history and historians are on varied opinions. They believe Great Zimbabwe ruins were the capital city of the ancient empire, which is functioned from the 13th to the 15th century. And you have the Songhai Empire. Now, this one, I thought it was, you know, it sounds like Shanghai. That sounds like Chinese. So, now, Tim Sizuma Salicho is here. Now, good morning, Franz.
Morning.
Let me come back to languages. My love, did you people tell stories in school like you where your teacher asked you to stand in front of the class to tell a story? And then did you find yourself emphasizing the distance that you were running and the speed, like we run. You see, I told you, Bantu language.
But you are mentioning about the Great Zimbabwe.
Yeah, and then we were told, what? No, that's not how you say it in English. You don't say, we run. Mm. Okay, France.
Yeah, you are talking about the Great Zimbabwe.
Today is Africa Day Observed. So I just wanted to point out that, we had, there's something positive about our history. But not everything is slavery, colonialism.
People deny the existence of Kush as a kingdom.
It was a kingdom.
It was a kingdom.
Yeah. Where? In Africa.
People deny the existence of Kush.
Who are those? Because a lot of historians agree.
Yeah, but because a lot of people don't want history that is attached to history that has in any biblical attachment.
Oh, the kingdom.
Because when you talk about Cush,
yeah,
it takes you back to the Bible.
Yeah.
And in fact, the Cush kingdom is the first kingdom ever to exist in the world.
Really? How old was this?
Look.
Okay, this is coming from, this is in BC period.
Yeah. In fact, Cush, the first king of the world, the first king in the world. Now, we are talking about the first king. The first person to be called king and the first person to be called mighty, even before God, even by God himself, calling this person mighty,
was
Nimrod, who is a black person and is a firstborn of Cush.
Wait, Nimrod was black?
Yeah.
Really?
Firstborn of Cush.
Cush, I mean, that's one heck of a name for a kingdom.
Cush, in fact, Cush means black.
Huh?
Yeah. Cush means black. So, the first
really
person...
We need to come up with a name with you.
The first
Must
person...
Must work on coming up with the good names.
The first person that was called mighty and mighty king, not only by people, but even by God himself, it was Nimrod, the firstborn of Cush.
Oh, Cush is a name of a person. Jesus, I'm not calling my kid that. With all due respect to ancestors.
What do you mean? What do you mean? You guys are saying Ethiopia. In fact, Cush is even better than the word Ethiopia.
Uh-huh.
Ethiopia means people of burnt skin.
Because of the dark skin color.
Yeah.
Oh no, there's another one.
It's a mockery word by the Greeks.
Yeah, the kingdom of Aksum. Seriously? These guys are you?
The Aksum, were they not Egyptians?
Aksum was in the, Aksum was in Egypt. Because, Aksum was on modern day, this was in the modern day of Ethiopia. Yeah, parts of Ethiopia.
Yeah, but look, that area
yeah.
of Aksum, it is a Nile area.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They were part of Egypt.
They're the one that gave us the, they're the one that gave us the Ge'ez alphabets that is still being used in Ethiopia today.
Yeah. So the Aksum, in fact, stretched forth from between Egypt and Ethiopia.
Mm.
And, after the breakdown of Egypt and Ethiopia, then there was a Nubian kingdom that stretched up to Sudan.
Mm-hmm. See, Africa is rich with everything, minus, economic decision making. With that, until tomorrow, same time, same place, on your favorite radio station, Ugula FM, from yours truly, moi. I leave you in the hands of Team Sizuma Saricho.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be. Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Olium Nangeshifa, Noahara Kushivifa Oma Kuroyo Kupitira Mohorike Radio Station Aweo Eagle FM. Enya Mukuro Olongaha. ninge kwata fano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konora hetatu imwe heari imwe ne heari imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116 momberewa konora hetatu natu mbali o hetatu vatatu ne nola no natu ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.